The church for your kindness and the fruit basket, your generosity, and the meal today, my goodness, that was awesome. And there's just only one problem. You know, I had a message, I guess, 45 minutes, and then I saw, somebody come with a plate like this. I said, man, I got to cut 10 minutes from that message. and then the next guy come with a plate like this. I said, man, that's 2 minutes gone, because, I want you to stay awake. So I try not to be long tonight, but thank you for your kindness and for your love to us. If you have your Bible, please turn to the book of Mark, Mark chapter 12. Mark chapter 12. Now we're going to read, our main text will be Mark chapter 12, but I also want you just to keep a finger there and turn, if you would, to Psalm chapter 2, verse 8. We just use that text as a springboard, if you will, but our main text will be from Mark chapter 12, verse 41. So once you find your place, you will stand, please, for the reading of the Word of God, Psalm chapter 2. So we'll start with Psalm chapter 2, verse 8. And then we'll turn to Mark chapter 12, verse 40 and 1. All right, Psalm chapter 2, verse 8, the scripture says, "Ask of me, and I shall give thee the hidden for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession." This is the Father speaking to the Son. This is a messianic psalm. And the Lord is saying, basically, the Father is saying to the Son, "Ask of me, and I shall give thee the hidden for thy inheritance." Now turn, if you will, to Mark chapter 12, verse 41. Mark chapter 12, verse 40 and 1. "And Jesus sat over against the treasury and beheld how the people cast money into the treasury, and many that were rich cast in much. And there came a certain poor widow, and she threw in 2 mites, which make a farthing. And he called unto him his disciples, and said unto them, Verily I say unto you, that this poor widow hath cast more in than all they which have cast into the treasury." And then in verse 44, "For all they did cast in of their abundance, but she of her want did cast in all that she had, even all her living." And this afternoon, I just want to bring a short message. I promise it won't be very long, but I want to bring a short message with the title, What Do You Want? What Do You Want? I recall we took the teenagers of our church on a camp a couple of months ago, actually a year ago, and we stopped somewhere, to have some food, and I mean, it was like almost like a fight. Everybody, "Oh, I want this, I want this." And we all have things that we want. But tonight, I just want to ask this question: What do you want? Concerning your life, what do you want to reach? What do you want to do with your life? What are your purposes? What do you want to reach? And so that's my message tonight. Okay, let's pray, and then we'll get into message. Father, thank you for your word. I thank you for this church that obviously loves mission, and we can see that, Lord, in the pictures on the wall. The missionaries they've supported all these years. And Father, I thank you for the mission conference, for what we've already heard. Thank you for the good meal we had earlier. But now that we're open to your word, I pray that you would speak to our hearts. I pray that everyone here tonight will receive something from you. And I pray that you use me, Father, and you would just empty me of myself. You cleanse me of sin. I pray you fill me with the Holy Spirit, and that I would be just a vessel in your hands. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Now, we saw earlier tonight from the Psalm 109, there's a call comes ringing over the restless wave, send the light, send the light. Jesus, our Lord, he said, "I am the light of the world." He is the light of the world. But then if you read later in the scriptures, speaking to the disciples, our Lord tells them, "You are the light of the world." Now in Psalm 2 verse 1, the Bible says, "Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointing. And you know, mission is about reaching the hidden. It's about reaching the hidden. But we need to understand that the hidden are raging tonight. Now, they're raging against the Lord and against his anointing, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, in many parts of the world, Satan has long exercised dominion. Now, to such a degree, the scriptures calls him the prince of the power of the air that we breathe. He is the God of this world. Now, governments and kings, they have sometimes separate interests, but they are united against the Lord and his anointed. You know, they hate his person. They want many ways, but it's only one way. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. They hate his principles. The world doesn't like his principles. They're hidden. The hidden doesn't like his program. They don't like us Christians coming to their country, to their lands, with a gospel, with a message that they don't have. They think we're bringing another religion. And they say, why are you coming to change us? We want to stay the way we are. Now, doors are closing in many areas in the world. In fact, in Germany, it's much harder today to get a resident visa. A lot harder than it was 10 years ago. Now, even though the hidden hate God, the living God wants the hidden. Now, God has always been a missionary God. Now, the scripture tells us that the Lamb of God was slain before the foundation of the world. Even before he made us, he already provided for our redemption. You know, when Adam sinned in the garden, he didn't seek God out. God sought him out. The scripture says that Adam hid, but God came into the garden. He said, where are thou? He's a missionary God. He wants the hidden. He wants to gather the hidden for his son, Jesus Christ. So my question tonight is, what do you want in life? What do you want with your life? Our Father wants the hidden. He says, ask of me. I'll give you the hidden for thy inheritance. What do you want? Now, Jesus wants the hidden. He said, I came to save that which is lost. Now, our Lord's prayer is to gather the hidden through the church. And so the church is to send missionaries to gather the hidden. That's what we've done in Spain, sending a missionary to gather the hidden to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, you're asking yourself, baby, tonight, you know, why did we read this text of Mark chapter 11? It's because to send a missionary, it takes money. And it takes resources from the church. But I think the grand question for every member of this church or any church, and for myself, is what do I really want in life? What is the most important to me? Is it my job? Is it the size of my house? Is it how fancy my car is? Or am I more interested in what Jesus is interested in? He's interested, he wants to hidden. He wants to reconcile the world unto himself. So for a few moments, I want to look at an example in the Bible of someone who gave, and her giving was approved of the Lord. This is a widow. And so I want you to look at this message tonight, and I want to make some application to how we can give to missions in order for us to reach the hidden of the world. Now, if you look with me in our text in Mark chapter 12, verse 41, the Bible tells us that Jesus sat over against the treasury. Now, this is the Passion Week, our Lord is going to be crucified in 5 days. He's going to be crucified. And he is the Passover lamb that we know about in the Old Testament. Now, in the Old Testament, God, when he sent Moses to free the children of Israel out of Egypt, he gave them some instructions. He said, I'm going to send the death angel over the land, and every firstborn in every house will die. He said, here's what you're going to do. You're going to take a lamb, you're going to kill that lamb, and you're going to sprinkle the blood to put over the lintel of the house. And he says, when I see the blood, I pass over you. That was a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. When I claim his blood on my life, when you claim his blood on your life, you know, death, the eternal death cannot strike you anymore. You escape judgment because he died for you. Now, when they will have the Passover lamb, God commanded them that on the 10th day of the month, they will set that lamb apart. And for 4 days, the leaders of the house of Israel, especially the priests, will examine that lamb for blemishes. So for 4 days, they will wash that lamb, make sure he's without blemish, And at the end of those 4 days, on the fifth day, the 14th day of the month, they will offer that lamb as a sacrifice. Now, this is what our Lord does here. He's been traveling in Galilee all over. He knew the Jews wanted to kill him. But now when the Passover approaches, the Lamb of God shows up in Jerusalem. He comes into the temple. He's basically saying, you look at me, I'm without blemish. I'm without sin. That's what he does. And so if you read the book of John especially, you will see that Jesus comes in and out for 4 days. He comes in and shows himself to the Jews. They try to find fault with him. They ask him hard questions. They try to trick him, but they find no fault in him. In fact, Pilate said 3 times, I find no fault in him. And so it's during this time, as he teaches the people into the temple, he answers the question, that he stops. I believe this is the third day. And the Bible says he sits down. He finds a spot in the temple. He just sits down. Now he's been standing all the time because the Jews will stand to teach the people in the temple. But now he sits. And he's going to teach them a great lesson. Now here's why he sits. Because he knows, being omniscient that he is, he knows a widow will show up in the temple. And in fact, what this widow is going to do is so important to our Lord that he will stop teaching the people to just sit and watch her. And that's what he does here. So our Lord sits down, verse 41, and he looked at us, at that widow, and the Bible says he beheld how the people cast money into the treasury. Now the Bible tells us that many that were rich cast in much. How many we don't know, maybe 20, 30, people just came by and they poured a lot of money into the treasury. Now, how did they know that there was a lot of money? Well, they had these bowls and they didn't have bills, they had coins. And so when a rich person would throw it to the treasury, you could hear the sound, right? But when a poor widow came, the Bible says many came and they cast in much. And thank God for the people who can give much. You know, I think even in this church like this, that people give a lot of mission. And and we thank God for those. We know a man who has given hundreds and millions of dollars to churches, to build churches, Bible colleges. And I thank God for those who can give much. But the widow came, and the Bible said she gave little. Look with me in verse 42. The Bible says there came a certain poor widow, and she threw in 2 mites, which make a farthing. Now, I won't go into details as far as the amount, but it was almost like somebody would come today and give a penny to mission. You know, let's say the church says, well, we want to do something for missionary on the field. Maybe we want to help them start a building. And somebody comes to preach and say, hey, preacher, you know, God just put this in my heart. This is a penny. I want to give. We're trying to raise $10,000, and somebody gives a penny. That's a little bit what she did. Because for all practical purposes, what she gave was meaningless. There's almost nothing you could do with a farthing. Almost nothing. The Bible says you could buy 2 sparrows with a farthing, but the sparrows among the Jews were so inexpensive, you could find them anywhere. She gave something that for all practical purpose was meaningless. But she gave it anyway. Now look with me in verse 43. And he called his disciples and saith unto them, verily I say unto you that this poor widow hath cast more in than all they which have cast into the treasury. You know, when I was in school, I loved math. And but with all of the math that I have, just reading verse 43, I couldn't understand how can little be more than much. You see, we see the widow, and the disciples saw that widow, she gave little. And they saw the multitudes give much. But Jesus, the Lord, he says, she gave more than they gave. Now, how is that possible? Well, it's because Jesus knows something that nobody else knows. Now, he knows the story behind her gift. You know, all what the people can see, the disciple, is the gift. But he sees her heart. He sees everything. He sees what happened to bring that gift to the temple. And he's going to reveal why she gave more. Now, verse 44, he says, for all they did cast in of their abundance, but she of her want did cast in all that she had, even all her living. Now, I want to make a few statements now tonight and apply this to the area of mission and how we should give to mission. First of all, we learn from this account that everyone can give. Everyone can give. You see, what she gave was meaningless. The truth be told, as far as the Jews would give to build a temple, but it was almost nothing you could buy with a farthing. It was meaningless. Everybody can give. Because everybody can have that little. You see, the children should give, the kids. You know, you should somehow maybe find some ways to give rewards, money to your children, so that they can give to missions. Maybe a child give $1 a week, another gives 50 cents. You see, everybody can give, and everybody should give. And so as we consider this matter of mission, you know, let the kids give, let them give. Let them give to Pray Faith Promise. Even if you think, well, I don't have much. Well, your gift means a lot to God because He knows. He knows. He knows where you are. He knows what's going on. And that's what He did with this widow. Everybody can give. Now, secondly, we are to exercise faith in giving. We are to exercise faith in giving. Now, this widow came to the temple and she gave very little. But why was her gift in the sight of God more than everybody else? Now, Jesus answers that in verse 44. He says, all they have given of out of the abundance, but she of her want gave Him all that she had. He said, even all her living. That's all she had. It was like going to at home tonight, and you go to your bank, you draw all the money, you sell your car, you get all the assets that you have, and tomorrow morning you show up at church and give all to missions. That's similar to what she gave. Jesus said she gave all. And He knows because He's God. Now, when I read that text, I asked myself a question. How was she supposed to leave the next day? How would she buy food the next day? How would she pay rent the next week or the next month? Because she gave all. She gave everything. So that tells me, even though I don't know this widow, I know something. She must have had faith in God. There's no other way. How could she otherwise take everything that she has and give to the Lord? It's because she has faith in God. She knew God was able to take care of her need. Now, you know, when you give to the church, whether it's mission or whatever, you usually get, you know, at least we get from the church, we get a giving statement. And usually right there, you know, donations. And when I do my tax return, they ask about donations, right? The charitable work. But I want you to remind you tonight that giving to God may be a donation for the IRS. But God is not the IRS. You know, God tells us that giving to Him is not a donation. In fact, He says it's an investment. Now, I'll read for you, turn there if you would, 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6. Here's what the Lord says regarding giving. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. And he that soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully, every man according as he purposeth in his heart. So let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. God is saying that as we give to Him, whether it be the church or mission, as we give to Him, He says it's not a donation. He doesn't treat it like a donation. He treats it like a seed that a sower put on the ground. And He said, he that soweth sparingly shall reap sparingly. And he that soweth bountifully shall reap bountifully. And I guess the question is, how much do you want to reap? How much do you want to reap? You know, a farmer, when he wants a great harvest, he sows a lot. You know, he sows a lot. But a man that eats the seed don't reap anything. So what do you do with your seed? Are you eating it? Are you sowing it? And so she had faith in God. She knew God was able to take care of her need. So first of all, everybody can give. Secondly, we ought to exercise faith in giving because God rewards our giving. Now, thirdly, is that God asks some to give all. God asks some to give all. You know, the Bible tells us that when you get saved, your body doesn't belong to you anymore. It becomes a temple of the Holy Ghost. The scripture says you're not your own. You are bought with a price. You see, when I got saved, God purchased me. The Bible says I was purchased by the blood of Christ. And you too. And so you don't belong to yourself. You belong to Him. Now, if you had a book, you know, let's say a songbook like this, and it's your personal songbook, and you go to the store, and you lay it somewhere, and some guy comes and grabs that book and runs away with it, how will you call that such a person? He's a thief, right? Now, when you take what belongs to Christ, and you do something else with it, what does that make of you? A thief. Make a thief. You see, God called me to go to Germany. You know, some people here, God is just calling you to stay here, work a job, serve in the church, and just give. That's what He wants. But if God is calling you, He calls some not to stay here, but to go where the hidden are, and to bring the light of the gospel to those that are in darkness. If you go, the Lord is calling you to reach the hidden, and you stay here, you're a thief. Because you're doing with the property of God something that He doesn't want to be done. He wants you somewhere. He wants you in China, maybe Germany, Spain. Because you belong to Christ. So to some, God asks to give all. Now, I don't mean necessarily dying, but some of us here, God is not asking you only to give to mission. He's asking you to be the missionary. And you'll never be happy until you surrender to Him. And so surrender to Him because you belong to Him. So first of all, everybody can give. Secondly, we ought to exercise faith in giving. Third, God asks some to give all. And fourthly, our sacrifice is reasonable. Our sacrifice is reasonable. You see, when the widow came into the temple and she walked into that temple, you know, she had that money, and it was all that she had. It was all her living. It was everything. If somebody would come through this door here on Sunday morning tomorrow, and he comes, you know, to our dear brother Mike, and he says, you know, brother Mike, you know, I want to do something this morning, but I want to get your mind. You know, this mission conference, I went back home, I pulled all my assets, everything that I have, and I wrote a big check, and I want to give it to the church tomorrow. He said, well, what do you think? Now, you know this story, but if you didn't know this story, I know what you think. I'll say, well, are you sure about that? You see? Maybe you need to think this twice, you know? You don't be a fool, right? Now think about this. When she came to give all that she had, Jesus knew it was everything she had. He did not stop her. He did not stop her. Now why? Well, because you see, in 2 days, Jesus is going to go to the cross. And He's going to give for her more than she could ever give to Him. In 2 days, He's going to die on the cross. He will be beaten. He will bury her sins on His body. And He will hang on that cross. And from the perspective of what Christ will do for her, what she did for Christ, for the Lord, is just reasonable. It's just reasonable. I was in the church. We were in the church, and they had done some question and answer. And they asked this question because both my wife and I, we're engineers. And so somebody asked this question, well, you know, how come you're engineers and you give up, you know, your jobs and the income, you know, to be a missionary? Don't you feel it's too much? You know, I had to think about Jim Elliot. We went to the engines. He was killed for Christ. Now, what we do doesn't even compare to what he did. You see? And when I compare that to what the Lord did for me on the cross, that he died to save me. The Bible says that he that was rich, he became poor so that we might be made rich. It's just reasonable. It's just reasonable to give that we have to God. Now, I'd like to read this psalm, and you've heard that before, I'm sure many of you, but I'll read in closing. Only one life, a few brief years, each with its burdens, hopes, and fears, each with its clays I must fulfill, living for self or his will, only one life, will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. When this bright world will tempt me sore, when Satan will a victory score, when self will seek to have its way, then help me, Lord, with joy to say, only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ shall last. And so I'd like to close with these questions. I don't want to get to the end of my life and regret and say, I wish I had obeyed God. I wish I had served God more. I wish I had given more to carry the gospel to the hidden so that they might know Christ. So my question to you tonight is, I want you to think about this. What do you want tonight? What do you want to with your life? Jesus wants the hidden. That's what he wants. Now, where do you want to gather the hidden? What do you mean, Brother Patrick? I mean, do you want to gather the hidden in Spain? I know you do. You support a missionary in Spain. But what about all of those other places in the world where they are hidden, that are in darkness, and don't know Christ? So where do you want to gather the hidden? My third question to you tonight is, how long do you want to gather the hidden? You see, every time you stop or you quit giving to missions, it's like turning a light in a dark place. And if you're not saved tonight, then you are the hidden that Jesus came for. That's right. He came to save you. And this is the whole point why he raised this church here, so that the people in this community might be gathered unto the Lord Jesus Christ. So you can't be saved tonight if you're not sure, know for sure you're going to heaven. So let's stand on our feet, if you would, every head bowed, every eye closed, preacher, if you will.
Well, let's do this. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed.